Wonderful this morning. Middle Eastern women are known for wearing veils. It's been true from time immemorial. Jewish women, Christian women, Muslim women, women in the Middle East like to wear veils. Well, when the West caught hold of this notion, the term Dance of the Seven Veils was born. Do you remember that? It was a Oscar Wilde show. It was a Richard Strauss opera. I think it came from Flaubert in the French at first. The Dance of the Seven Veils. Now, John the Baptist had a problem. He had a problem because he was a truth teller. And he told Herod that he should not have married his brother's wife. Especially when she was still married to his brother. He was right about that. Salome was the daughter of Herodias, the woman in question who married Herod after she'd been married to Herod's brother. Salome did a dance before the king, which has been called since the Dance of the Seven Veils. That's what Middle Eastern ladies do. They dance with veils. And of course, when the dance was done, the king was pleased. He said, "I'll give you anything you want, kiddo, up to half my kingdom." She said, "Let me ask Mom." And Mom said to ask for what? The head of John the Baptist on a platter. Mom was a tough cookie. Woo. Well, veils and unveiling are part of the Middle Eastern mindset, part of Middle Eastern culture, and something that ladies do. Respectable ladies veil. You wear a scarf and maybe a little something over your face. And ladies who are a little risque dance with the veils and take them off one at a time. I suppose that's the great-great-grandmother of a burlesque show somehow. Epiphany literally means an unveiling. God unveils who God is and shows what God is really like. Now, when I was a woman living in the Middle East, I got invited to women's parties and things a lot because in the Middle East, they really separate by gender. So if you go to a woman's party, ladies, or a men's party, men, you see people as they are. The women take off their veils when they're in each other's company, and they look just like we do. Some of them are very well put together. Others have a bad hair day. Some are very svelte and fit. Others, like me, ate too much over the holidays. Some have good teeth. Some have crooked teeth. When we are unveiled, we see each other as we really are. It's like, "Oh, Fatima, so that's you. Okay, got it." God, in the time of Jesus, as described by the high priests, by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, was covered by many veils. The minutiae of the law, the sense of clean and unclean, Jew and Gentile, male and female. God was covered with so many veils of unknowability that people really believed they had to go to the high priest, and only that person could go before God and make expiation for sin. Only that person could go before God and really pray for his people. But the Middle Eastern folks then and now, I think God still wears some of those same veils in the Middle East. People must have wondered, who is God really? What is God? Who is God? What is God like under all those veils if we could take him off? Under the power, under the majesty, under the set-apartness, under the judgment, under the justice, under all the legalities, who is God? Well, we know from today's scripture and from the first chapter of John that God is light and God is love. God is light shining in a dark place, in dark times, that is never, ever extinguished by the darkness. Jesus did most of his preaching in villages around the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, it's sometimes called. These villages were people full of people who were subsistence farmers. They simply lived from day to day. If things went well, if they caught enough fish, they would eat that night. If they had a trade and were able to fulfill that trade, maybe they would have food and a little bit more. But they didn't have much hope of better things, at the hands of the Romans or in the villages that they knew. They were sustained by hope. They lived in slavery. Some of them really were indentured servants. All they knew was subsistence, and on top of that, they were occupied by Rome. Hope is what kept the Jewish people alive. Hope for the Messiah. Hope that God would unveil his purposes, make them clear, and come to save his people. Many of us are here, I suspect, as Americans because our ancestors in Europe did not have hope for a better way of living in the old country. Anybody know their stories from the old country? Most of us, not all of us, me, came from poor peasant people. Life was hard in Holland, in Sweden, in a village in England. It wasn't going to get any better in that context for a long time. So they came where? To America, the land of opportunity, the land of great hopes. The Jews were like our immigrant forebears on the cusp of a new world, on the cusp of a new beginning, because they had ancient promises that they trusted God to keep, that the Jewish people would be restored to safety, to integrity, to their own land, to having enough. And in Jesus, all those hopes were fulfilled. He was the light bearer to all. And then, oddly enough, Magi show up. People who very definitely are not Jewish, don't know the Jewish scriptures, do not hope for a Messiah in their own tradition that we know of. They have no connection firsthand with Jesus or with the prophets. And yet, God unveiled is light, is love. And God used what these pagan Gentiles had, which was following the stars, astrology, and led them to the Christ child. Epiphany unveils what Advent promises, that all flesh shall see the salvation of God, that God's light has shined on the heathens as well as the faithful. What a strange, strange circumstance to have Magi, likely Zoroastrian priests from Persia, show up and give the first baby shower in all of Scripture in honor of a holy child. How in the world did they know? Well, God unveiled his purposes. Darkness is unveiled, comes within the faith community, but it comes outside the faith community too. God leads people to us, for us, with us, that we would never dream would become our brothers and sisters. Now, the problem was in this passage that the darkness was not only in the world at large, it was within the faith community. The Jewish King Herod, not a very good Jew, but a Jew all the same, was jealous, paranoid, unstable, and murderous. And soon the scribes and Pharisees were unhappy too. But the Magi were part of God's great unveiling. The world is changing. God is coming very near. Nothing will be the same since Jesus is born. So in this new year, in this new political season, we hold tight to the unveiling of the purposes of God. God loves everyone. Jesus came for all. Our call is to the world without exception. We wear the veils sometimes of our nation. Oh, we're so thankful to live in this nation. But at core, our ultimate identity is as the people of God, reaching out with the purposes of God. And we may well in our lives find God leading us to cultures just as strange as the Magi who now live in our midst. Epiphany opens the door that Advent has begun. Who knows who in 2017 will appear at our door with their own gifts? who wait to be invited in to hear the Christian gospel. We'll know it's from the Lord when their lives are transformed, as are ours. So let's be people who don't wear veils to cover the truth of God. God, as St. Paul likes to say, has no favoritism. He came for the heathens and he came for the faithful. Came for the nice people and he came for the naughty people. The light of God shines in all. See John chapter 1. The light that lights all people came into the world in Christ. John bore him witness, and the Magi came with gifts. Let's welcome all who come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.